Please turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20. We will be turning to a number of portions of Scripture today, but I want to read some verses from Exodus chapter 20. The subject that I want to deal with this afternoon is simply entitled "The Main Cause for Marriage Breakdowns." But before we come to deal with this subject, I want to read some verses from Exodus chapter 20. We'll commence our reading at verse 1. "And God spake all these words." I want you to underline that phrase. We're living in a day when this world does not accept the Ten Commandments, and even some of so-called Christians would try to teach us that some of the commandments are not for today. But they are. God spake all these words. What we're going to read here is not what Moses said, or what Aaron said, or what the nation of Israel said. But what we're going to read is what the God of heaven has said. And as we read these words, we must consider them in that light. Men and women always read the Ten Commandments in this light, that God is the one who has given them. "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me, and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honour thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbour. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbour's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbour's. And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings, and the noise of the trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, Speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. And Moses said unto the people, Fear not, for God is come to prove you, and that his fear may be before your faces, that ye sin not. Amen. We'll end our reading at verse 20, knowing the Lord will bless the reading, the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a word of prayer. Let's seek the face of the Lord again as we come into his presence to pray for the preaching of God's word just now. Father in heaven, we come before thee again and we thank thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, for the public reading of the scriptures of truth. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless that public reading to every heart. We thank thee, Lord, that we can meet on the Lord's day with God's people around the word of God. And we pray, Lord, now as we turn to the sacred page, that you would speak to all of our hearts, both saint and sinner alike. We thank thee, Lord, that it's the entrance of thy word that giveth light. And we pray, Lord, that you would lighten our hearts today. O God, we pray that you would come and send us a breath of revival. We recognize, O God, that in our land there is no fear of God. For, Lord, they have forsaken thy law. They have cast aside thy word. But, O God, we pray that once again that you would come in revival power. And, O God, that the word of God might go forth in power. We thank thee, Lord, and we praise thee that thy word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And we thank thee, Lord, today that we are gathered here and we have the privilege of hearing thy word read. And we pray, Lord, that you would bless it to our hearts and help us, Lord, day by day to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. For a few moments today, I want to preach on the subject, the main cause for marriage breakdowns. Last Lord's Day, we commenced a series of messages on the family. And we entitled the series of messages, Bible Truth for the Family in this 21st Century. Last week, as an introductory message, we considered the first marriage and the setting up of the first family home in the Bible. In our studies last Lord's Day, we observed the marriage between Adam and Eve. And we considered three things about this first marriage. We looked briefly at the origin of marriage, at the couple in marriage, and the purpose of marriage. We found out that marriage was instituted by God at the beginning, and that marriage was between a man and a woman, and that the purpose of marriage was for companionship and for the bringing up of children in the knowledge and in the fear of God. Today, I want to draw your attention to the main cause of marriage breakdowns. I believe, personally, that the main cause why many marriages do not last is because of the sin of adultery. Now, of course, adultery is not the only cause for marriage breakdowns, but it is the main reason, I believe, why many marriages end in failure. And for a few moments today, I want to draw your attention to this subject, and I do pray that the Lord will speak to all of our hearts through his precious word. There's no doubt that the Bible condemns adultery as sin. Indeed, the seventh commandment, we have it there recorded in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, underline the words, Thou shalt not commit adultery. At the close of the message today, I want to show you how the Christian can avoid committing the sin of adultery. But before we do that, I want to draw your attention to what the Bible teaches about adultery. And I pray that as we take up this subject, that God will write His Word. And men and women, I want you to remember that it is God's Word that we are considering. And I pray that God's Word will speak to all of our hearts, and that the truths that we learn today, that we will never forget. First of all, I want you to notice that the command of God forbids adultery. And we have it here in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14 in the seventh commandment. God's command forbid adultery in the days of Moses. Thou shalt not commit adultery. You know, the Ten Commandments are commandments not just for one generation. They were not just given for the generation that Moses lived in. But the moral law is for all generations. And you will discover when you study the Bible that God forbid the committing of adultery in every generation. Now, of course, we haven't the time this morning to consider all the places in the Bible where adultery is mentioned. Did you know that it's mentioned at least 68 times? 68 times. We haven't got the time to turn to all those references. But let me just draw your attention quickly and briefly to some of them. Not only did God command the forbidding of adultery in the days of Moses, but God's command forbid it also in the days of King David. After David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, God sent this message to David by the mouth of the prophet in 2 Samuel 12 verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? And of course that was a direct reference to the sin that David had committed. But you will notice that in the condemnation of David's sin, the prophet drew David's attention to the commandment, to the seventh commandment. Therefore, the commandment was still in force. And Nathan condemned David for his sin of adultery. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? When you turn over to the New Testament, God's command forbid adultery in the days of the Lord Jesus. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 19, we read these words, thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery. And of course, in Mark chapter 10, we have the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to the rich young ruler, and he draws the rich young ruler's attention to a number of the commandments. And one of the commandments that the Lord Jesus drew the rich young ruler's attention to was the seventh commandment. And he emphasizes to the rich young ruler, thou knowest the commandments. And then he quotes this commandment, do not commit adultery. So when we turn to the New Testament, again, the commandment is still in force. Indeed, God's command forbids adultery in the days of the Apostle Paul as well. When the Apostle started to preach after the Lord Jesus had died upon the cross and rose again and ascended back up into heaven, Paul began his ministry, and we know of how the Lord saved Paul on the Damascus Road, and he became a great missionary and a great evangelist and preacher. Paul, in his writings, emphasized that it was a sin to commit adultery. In Romans 13 verse 9, Paul said, for this thou shalt not commit adultery. So time and time again, throughout the history of the Bible, right from the very beginning to the very end of God's precious word, this sin is condemned. And this commandment is enforced, as I believe all the Ten Commandments are. Therefore, the Word of God, from beginning to end, clearly and dogmatically teaches that adultery is wrong. As I have already said at least 68 times in the Bible, the Word of God refers to the sin of adultery. In the New Testament, also during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God stated that if a man looked upon a woman and lusted after her, that he was guilty of adultery. Just keep your hand in Exodus chapter 20 for a moment and turn over in the Bible to Matthew's Gospel chapter 5 till you see this. It's a very interesting text of Scripture. But it's a text of Scripture that we all need to underline in our Bible. The Lord Jesus did not come to change the law. He came to fulfill the law. But as far as the moral law was concerned, the Lord Jesus Christ emphasized and taught clearly that adultery was sin. Look what it says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Therefore, the Lord Jesus Christ was pointing out there to those that were listening to him that those who look upon a woman to lust after her have already committed adultery with her in their heart. You don't have to commit the act of adultery to commit adultery. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ was emphasizing here. And he was, of course, teaching them that sin begins in the heart, and the heart is corrupt and vile. And, of course, that's where sin begins. Begins in our heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ was pointing out the awfulness of this sin, the blackness of this sin, and the corruptness of this sin. Oh, men and women, the Word of God is very clear, isn't it? And it's very simple. And it's very dogmatic. And I pray that the Lord will again remind us of sin. We're living in an age today where sin is not sin anymore. Sin is not sin anymore as far as this world is concerned. You see, the Bible is a closed book. Even among Protestants. Protestants have no time to read their Bible. They have no time to read their Bible. And how sad it is. And you know, we often condemn the poor blinded Roman Catholic for wanting nothing to do with God's Word. And rightly so. But the truth is this, that in many Protestant homes, the Bible is never opened and never read. And certainly, in this day and age in which we live, not believed. Oh, I pray that the Lord will bring us all back to God's truth and what God's Word has to say. The command of God forbids it. That is the sin of adultery. I want you to notice, secondly, the consequences of adultery. There are many consequences committing adultery. Adultery destroys a person's reputation. Adultery destroys a Christian's testimony. In Proverbs 6, verse 32 and 33, we read these words. You should underline these words in your Bible. Whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, verse 33, a wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. You remember when David committed adultery with Bathsheba, he destroyed his testimony. He destroyed his testimony. Just turn over for a moment to 2 Samuel chapter 12. It's a portion of Scripture that I'm sure is familiar to most of us. But I want to show you again, at least remind you again, perhaps you already know the truth, but I want to remind you again of how this sin destroyed David's testimony and caused the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme Second Samuel chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14 it says, "And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die." Howbeit, we're going to be emphasizing verse 13 in a moment, but look at verse 14. "Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme." David had destroyed his testimony. He was the man after God's own heart. He had written at least 73 of the Psalms. He was inspired of God. He was used of the Lord in a mighty way. But I'll tell you this, his testimony was never the same again after 2 Samuel chapter 12. And if you take the time to read the history of David, the Lord forgive him because he repented. And we're going to see more about that in a moment. But it has to be emphasized here that David's reputation was destroyed and David's testimony was weakened greatly because he committed the sin of adultery. And that's what happens when a man or a woman commits adultery. Never forget that it's not only men who commit adultery. Women can commit adultery as well. Adultery not only destroys a person's reputation and destroys a Christian's testimony, but adultery destroys a person's body. Turn over in the Bible for a moment to Proverbs chapter 7. And take a look there at some of the verses. Really, you should read Proverbs 5, 6, and 7. And you'll learn quite a bit there about adultery. But just take a look at chapter 7 of Proverbs. Look at verse 22. I'll just pick some verses out. "When thou goest, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee." I'm in the wrong chapter. Proverbs 7 and verse 22. I'm in chapter 6, verse 22. Verse 22 of chapter 7. "He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, and as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life." Look at verse 26. "For she hath cast down many wounded, yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death." Here in this chapter of Proverbs, the young man in Proverbs 7 yields to the unclean woman. And as he yields to the unclean woman, he is corrected of the stocks. That's what the Bible tells us here. "He knew not that her ways led to the chambers of death." You see, adultery has been the cause of the spread of disease, and some of it fatal. Adultery has been the cause of many murders. And even when you study the adultery of David in 2 Samuel chapter 12, you will know and be aware that after David committed adultery, of course, he had Uriah killed in the heat of the battle. Destroys the body. Adultery destroys the soul if it goes unrepentant. In 1 Corinthians 6 verse 9 and 10, we read these words, "Know ye not that the unrighteous man shall not inherit the kingdom of God? But be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers," verse 10, "shall inherit the kingdom of God." Paul there is teaching clearly that those who commit adultery and die in their sin, as those who die in whatever sin they commit, are lost forever in hell. And of course, that's why the Bible teaches the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But you'll notice there that as Paul speaks about eternal death in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he singles out the adulterer. The adulterer. And of course, adultery destroys a person's marriage. How many marriages have been destroyed by adultery? 1 Corinthians 7 verse 2 says, "Let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband." And again, That's the teaching of the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So you can see here the consequences of this sin. Now, there's consequences to all sin. We must say that. And of course, we know that to be the case because that's what the Bible tells us. But we're dealing with this sin of adultery. God commands it. And the consequences of it are severe. Severe indeed. Indeed, when you read the book of Leviticus and the law of God in the days of Moses, the adulterer was to be stoned to death because of their sin. God's word teaches us clearly that sin will be judged. And we must realize that God deals severely with sin. Sin will be found out. Your sin will be caught up with you. And that's why it is so important to turn away from sin. Indeed, that's the third thing I want you to notice here. Not only God command forbids it and God the consequences of it, but I want you to notice that there's cleansing from this sin of adultery, as there's cleansing from all sin. The adulterer can be saved. The man or woman who commits this sin can find forgiveness and cleansing in Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible in a number of places reveals this to us very clearly. Now, we haven't got the time today to turn to all of these portions of Scripture. Some of them, I'm sure, will be familiar to you. But when you go home, you should look them up and study them for yourself. But you will see that during the earthly ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, he came face to face with those who had committed adultery, and he forgave them for their sins because they repented of their sins. In John chapter 8, I'm sure that you're familiar with the woman who was brought to Christ who had committed adultery. And when you read that portion of Scripture, the Lord forgives her. And the Lord says to her, go and sin no more. And she repented of her sin. And of course, the most well-known example in the New Testament is the woman of Samaria in John chapter 4. And I'm sure that's a familiar passage to most of us, if not all of us, where the Lord Jesus Christ went down into Samaria. And he went down to Sychar, and he sat in Jacob's well. And as he sat in Jacob's well, the woman of Samaria, who was an adulteress, came out to fetch water, and the Lord had a conversation with her. And by the end of the conversation, that woman was gloriously saved, and she was gloriously converted, and her sins were forgiven. Isn't it wonderful? Therefore, there is hope in the gospel for the vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus of cleansing will receive. And of course, we know the story of the woman of Samaria so well, how she left her water pots, how she went back to the city. And it's interesting when you read John chapter 4, because it says that she said to the men, she went to the men, I believe the very men that she was committing adultery with. She said to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And she brought them out, and I believe they were saved as well, because there was a great revival in Samaria at that time. And many of the people of the city turned to Christ and were gloriously saved. Thank God there is mercy with the Lord. And we must emphasize this, because the Word of God emphasizes it. And of course, David was forgiven as well, because when you read, we have read the verse already, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 13, you read there how David repented of his sin and the Lord forgave him. But there's one text of Scripture that I want to draw your attention to, and it's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 for a moment. Paul here, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he comes to write to the Christians at Corinth. Now, if you're familiar with the history of the church at Corinth, you will know that the Apostle Paul went to that city on one of his missionary journeys, and he preached the gospel. And as he preached the gospel, there were many in the city who were gloriously saved. They turned from their sin and they were converted. One of the sins that some of the people turned from was the sin of adultery. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 6 and look with me there at verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Now here we have Paul, and he's coming and he's writing here, and he's emphasizing sin again. And he's emphasizing that those who commit sin and die unrepentant will be lost forever. That's what he's emphasizing in verse 9. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. So if they die in their sin, such people will not enter into heaven. That's why we say, my friend, that all are not going to heaven. If a man dies in his sin, he's going to hell. If a man dies in his sin, he's lost forever. That's what Paul is teaching, and that's what the Bible teaches. And we emphasize again, if the adulterer dies in his or her sin, they'll be lost forever. But note verse 11. After Paul lists all of these sins, wicked sins, he says this, and such were some of you. Stop there. Such were some of you. In other words, what Paul is saying is this. Some of these people who had got saved, before they had got saved, they were adulterers. They were fornicators. They were idolaters. They were effeminate. Indeed, they were abusers of themselves with mankind. They were thieves. They were covetous. They were drunkards. They were revilers. They were extortioners. But God had saved them. And look what happened to them after they had got saved. But ye are washed. But ye are sanctified. But ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our Lord. My friend, isn't it wonderful today that the gospel brings hope to the vilest sinner? Maybe you're here this afternoon and you're not saved. Maybe you wouldn't put yourself in the same category as Paul mentions there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. But you're not saved. My friend, the truth is we're all sinners. You know, sometimes we try to bring out and make people think, well, we're not just as bad as anybody else. We're not just as bad as the neighbor down the street. The truth is, we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity. And we've got the potential to commit every sin. We've got the potential to commit every sin. That's why you should be very careful before you judge people. There is none difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whatever your sin is, whether you think it's great or not, your sin's bringing you down to hell. Just as my sin was bringing me down to hell before the grace of God saved me and before the blood of Christ cleansed me. That's why it is so important for you to repent of your sin and confess your sin to God and be saved today. You need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But thank God there is cleansing and there is forgiveness and there is salvation. The vilest offender who truly believes that moment to Jesus, a cleansing will receive. I know time's away, but I want you to notice, lastly, how the child of God can avoid this sin. Child of God, we must avoid this sin at all costs. We must avoid adultery at all cost. How do we avoid it? Well, first of all, watch your thoughts. Sin starts as a thought, or as a temptation in the mind. The devil will fan the flame of lust, and the thought will become a look, and the look a desire, and the desire an act, and the act a habit. Therefore, the best place to deal with sin is at the initial stage. As soon as the devil plants the seed of temptation in the mind, plead victory over it by the blood of Christ. Pray much that God will give you pureness of heart and pureness of soul. The Bible says, think upon those things that are pure, those things that are holy, those things that are just, those things that are righteous. We need to watch our thoughts. We need to watch our eyes. Eve first saw the forbidden fruit, then partook of it. David's adultery with Bathsheba started when David looked upon her with his eyes. Be careful what you look at in magazines, in newspapers, on television. Oh, watch your eyes. What is seen, will go into the mind. What is seen will go into the heart. And very soon will proceed from the heart. What's your heart? The natural heart is a fountain of lust and sin. Matthew 15 verse 19 says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications. Dwelling on sin in the heart makes way for the act of sin. What's your dress? Especially the young women. In Proverbs we read about the attire and dress of the harlot. Provocative dress places temptation in the pathway of others. Those who dress or act in a provocative manner are just as guilty as the one who falls for the temptation. And above all, watch your marriage relationship. Many men and women, they have just wives or they have just husbands, but the emphasis should be on the loving relationship, and we're going to see this, more of this in these studies. The man who loves his wife or the woman who loves her husband will not commit adultery. And of course, there's three golden rules. Meditate upon God's word day and night. Pray around the throne of grace day and night. And stay in your own homes day and night. And I believe if you follow these three rules, you will not go far wrong as far as the sin of adultery is concerned. Oh, I pray in these days that the Lord will help us to live close to the Lord. We need to live close to the Lord, and we must recognize that there's none of us beyond falling. You might say to me today, Mr. Gray, I would never commit adultery. My friend Peter said that he would never deny his Lord. I was just reading that portion of Scripture this morning before I came out to God's house. Peter was so confident. I'll die with you, Lord, but I'll not deny you. And very shortly after that, he fell and he denied his Lord with oaths and curses. There's not one of us here today who cannot commit adultery. From the pulpit right to the back of this church. Don't think that you're beyond this sin, because you're not. And that's why it is so important that we remain humble before the Lord, and that we recognize that we are only but sinners saved by grace. If the mighty David, who was the man after God's own heart, could fall in this way, then you and I can fall in this way as well. Him that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. O child of God, may the Lord's word come with power to our souls. And may we ever be watching out for the attack of hell, because the devil is so subtle in how he sets temptation before the saints of God. Let us all pray.